Section 3, Governing Carolina. As you read, look for the early government of Carolina with its council, parliament, and a succession of governors, conflicts between proprietors and colonists, the establishment of the Commons House of Assembly, which marked the beginning of representative government in the colony, how differences between colonies in South and North Carolina led to their separation in 1710, terms, Council, Commons House of Assembly, General Assembly, Glorious Revolution. The fundamental constitutions of Carolina were supposed to be the basis of all government and law in the colony. The document never became official because the colonists refused to adopt it as their constitution. After all, remember, the charter from the king stated that the colonists must consent to the laws placed upon them. The proprietors revised the document 5 times, but the colonists still would not accept it. The government that evolved was shaped in part by the fundamental constitutions, in part by orders from the proprietors to the governors, and in part by the settlers themselves. The colonists lived 3,000 miles and several weeks' travel time from the proprietors in England. Therefore, they often had to make up their rules as they went along. Often they did not want much guidance from the proprietors anyway. Government in the early years. The proprietors appointed a governor for Carolina, who was to serve as long as the lords in London wanted him. Along with the governor was a council to advise the governor, make laws, and act as a court. No separation of powers here. The council was composed of 3 groups. The first group was made up of the proprietors, or actually their appointed deputies, because none of the original proprietors ever came to South Carolina. The second group consisted of men appointed by the proprietors from among Carolina's largest landowners. The final group consisted of several members elected by the local parliament from among the smaller landowners. The parliament was elected by all eligible voters in the colony, but it had little power. The council and the governor ran things. The government became slightly more democratic when the council decided in 1682 that all laws required approval of all 3 groups within the council. This gave the smaller landowners much more muscle. To be eligible to vote, one had to own at least 50 acres of land. To hold office, one had to own 500 acres. Remember, power and privilege came from property. Early governors. The governors in the first 4 years served very short terms. The original governor, William Sale, died within a year of the settling of Charlestown. In his last days, he appointed Captain Joseph West as his successor. Soon, Sir John Yeamans arrived from Barbados. He had been given the largest land grant of several thousand acres and given the noble title of Landgrave. Because he was the only Landgrave in Carolina, the proprietors appointed him governor. He quickly became unpopular by selling his crops to the West Indies when there was a food shortage in Charlestown. Yeamans died in 1674 and West became governor again. This time he governed for 8 years and brought a period of relative calm and stability, but there was a brewing discontent with the proprietors. Growing conflicts. The settlers who came from Barbados dominated the council and parliament. Increasingly, they resented efforts by proprietors to interfere with affairs in the colony. The Barbadians, who were deeply involved in the Indian slave trade and pirate trade, resented and ignored orders from London to stop those enterprises. Not only did the colonists disobey the proprietors, but the colony was not profitable to its owners in England. Obvious conflicts were growing between proprietors and settlers. The proprietors tended to view the settlers as unruly and ungrateful people who were not sending them the profit they deserved. Most of the settlers viewed the proprietors as people far away, ignorant of conditions in America, trying to tell them how to live and run their affairs in Carolina. Politics within Carolina began to divide between those who opposed the proprietors on most issues and a smaller group who tended to favor them. The Barbadians led the anti-proprietary party and held the majority in the council and parliament. They were often called the Goose Creek Men because many of the leaders were planters who settled along Goose Creek, a tributary of the Cooper River. Most of them were members of the Anglican Church, the official Church of England that was supported by taxes in England and in Carolina. The proprietary party, those who usually supported the proprietor's wishes, was largely composed of dissenters. Dissenters were not members of the Anglican Church. They wanted to remain members of their Presbyterian, Congregational, Baptist, or Quaker denominations. In the 1680s, the proprietors increased their efforts to attract dissenters to Carolina. They assured dissenters their taxes would not be used to support the Anglican Church. The proprietors hoped more settlers would make the colony profitable and hoped dissenters would make the proprietary party stronger. More dissenters came, but the results for the proprietors did not change much. Creation of the General Assembly. Carolinians constantly complained about not having enough voice in their own government. In response, in 1691, the proprietors discontinued efforts to get the Carolinians to accept the fundamental constitutions. The following year, they gave the colonists more representation. The colonial government in Carolina was, after that, to have a council appointed by the proprietors and a Commons House of Assembly elected by property holders. Together, the two houses would be called the General Assembly and would have authority to make the colony's laws. The Commons House would meet separately from the Council and have authority to pass bills, which then had to be passed by the Council and signed by the Governor to become law. Creation of the Commons House was of major importance for the development of representative government in South Carolina. In the mid-1690s, Governor John Archdale, himself a proprietor, agreed that the Assembly could include in certain acts a statement that the proprietors could not change the legislation without the Assembly's consent. It was becoming obvious that decisions made by the proprietors were becoming less important than decisions made in the Assembly. The concept of government by the consent of the governed, at least by white male property owners, was catching on. England's Glorious Revolution. Perhaps the proprietors allowed these changes because they were influenced by developments in England. In 1688, the English Parliament forced King James II to resign and leave the country. Early in 1689, the Parliament put Mary, daughter of James, and her husband William on the throne as co-monarchs and placed significant limitations on royal authority. This bloodless upheaval is known in English history as the Glorious Revolution. The exercise of power by the representative body of the English government set a precedent, pattern, guideline for the future. The lower house of Parliament, the House of Commons, gained the upper hand in the British government during the next century. Likewise, in South Carolina, the lower house of the General Assembly, the Commons House, gained the upper hand in governing the colony in the 18th century. South Carolina, North Carolina. In the vast territory granted to the proprietors, the only settlements within the first two decades, 1670 to 1690, were established around Charlestown in South Carolina and around Albemarle Sound in the area that was to become North Carolina. These two areas started out very differently and continued to grow in different directions. The Albemarle Sound settlers were mainly Virginians who moved south to establish small farms on free land away from the plantation-dominated Chesapeake area. They developed a mixed economy that included tobacco farming, cattle raising, food, crops, lumber, and naval stores. There was little connection or communication between the settlements in Charlestown and Albemarle Sound. The people in each area were quite different. The proprietors recognized the differences and sent a deputy governor to Albemarle. Then in 1710, they appointed an independent governor of North Carolina. The two have been separate ever since. The exact boundaries separating the two Carolinas had to be worked out over a long period of time. Do you remember? 1. Define in sentence form Commons House of Assembly, General Assembly, Glorious Revolution. 2. What kinds of colonists opposed the proprietors and what kinds favored them? 3. How were the Albemarle Sound settlers different from those in Charlestown?